Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Well, you've heard a lot about water trouble in Michigan, and here's a new chapter. It's not about contaminated pipes in Flint, at least not directly. This chapter has to do with bottled water. Nestle, the big company, extracts billions of dollars worth of groundwater from western Michigan, but it pays the state just $200 a year in paperwork fees for that privilege. Now, Nestle wants to more than triple its pumping capacity in the region from 150 gallons per minute to 400 gallons per minute, and locals and activists say the pumping could cause damage to the surrounding wetlands. And people have pointed out the irony that you might already be thinking of, that Flint residents are stuck buying water, maybe from Nestle, while the company pumps it out essentially for free. Logging companies and ranchers have to pay a fee when they use public resources on government land, so why does Nestle get to make potentially billions of dollars off of essentially free water? That's a question that's baffling to Liz Kirkwood. She's executive director of FLOW. That stands for the Love of Water. They're a Great Lakes Water and Policy Center.
That is the question of the hour. Why is it essentially free? And because the state has not addressed the issue about bottled water. In the state's water withdrawal law of 2008, bottled water is an exception. And one of the recommendations that we and others have made is to place a moratorium on any further permits for bottled water to examine this issue. Ontario, Canada, for example, has a 2-year moratorium because they are facing the same issue. And if we don't get it right now, it will open the doors wide for other multinational corporations to come in.
So this is going to be a different issue for residents of Flint, certainly residents of Michigan more broadly, Liz. How do you want outsiders to look at this when they look at the groundwater situation in Nestle?
I think this issue highlights the critical importance for people to start making clear connections about water privatization, to understand what it actually means and the detrimental effect and the corrosive effect it has on our failing municipal water systems, and the urgent need to commit to transforming and reinvesting in our municipal water systems across the country. And we're looking at a $1 trillion investment over the next 25 years.
You know, Liz, a lot of people might see a perverse set of incentives here when they look at this story. I mean, we're so behind on water infrastructure, not just in Flint, but in dozens, hundreds of communities across the country. The worse the water out of your tap feels to you, or the worse you perceive it, gosh, the more likely you are to buy a bottle of Deer Park water down at Walmart, right? That doesn't seem
right.
Like the right set of incentives.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, following the Flint disaster, one out of three people interviewed, I think it was in the Christian Science Monitor, one out of three people were likely to only have faith in the local municipal water and we're going to drink out of the tap. It's disasters like Flint that trigger the fear amongst the public.
And to put a fine point on it, Liz, do companies like Nestle, and I don't want to impart any motives to them that I'm not aware of, but do companies like them have at least a vested interest in declining public confidence in municipal water?
Well, I think that that's a question for them. You know, Nestle has, you know, indicated on their website that they've contributed to the Flint disaster, donating bottled water. But the rise of bottled water in this century is unprecedented. And it, you know, it has a lot of deleterious effects, not only on kind of eroding trust in public infrastructure, but the whole ecological impact, of course, of using plastic, fossil fuel-based bottles that are end up in our landfill. And water is a public resource. The law across all 50 states requires each and every state to be the public trustee on behalf of all citizens. And this legal duty must come first and foremost. The human right to water was ratified by the UN in 2010. And we know that this is a life and death issue. And this is a cross-cutting issue across all economics that disproportionately harms vulnerable communities. And so it's imperative that we get this right, that we manage our water, that Michigan, you know, for example, with bottled water, there was a recent audit. They're not even keeping track of every gallon of water that's going in and out of the state. This is our most valuable resource, especially here in the Great Lakes, where we have 20% of the planet's fresh surface water. So if we don't get it right now, I don't know when we will.
An ongoing battle in western Michigan as Nestle seeks to vastly increase the amount of water it's pumping out of the ground. For resale to you in bottled form, Liz Kirkwood, Executive Director of For the Love of Water, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We reached out to Nestle for a comment or an interview for this story. If they get back to us, we will certainly put them on the air.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.